This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So Chris Cody has alleged in the chat he does not side with you guys, saying I have been snobby to Alfonso Ribeiro or condescending by, I didn't say he was arrogant, I just said Carlton likes him some Carlton. And Chris Cody has theorized that Alfonso definitely has a portrait of Alfonso in his house. So put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Does Alfonso have a portrait of Alfonso in his house at Le Batard Show?
We discovered that A-Rod does, right? Is that?
Well, no, that was never proven. It was supposed to be half A-Rod, half Centaur. People wanted it to be true. I badly wish it were true. But no one's actually proven that there was such a painting. Thank you, though, for making that real, Stugatz, that he would have over his bed, of course, a painting of himself as a centaur. I really do wish that that is the sports world that I lived in. Now, what is real is there is a picture of him in a magazine kissing a mirror of himself. Something that does exist.
Yeah, but the centaur painting has become just sort of word association. To the point where it doesn't matter if it's real or not. We just project it as so, sort of like Richard Gere.
It's also like Kawhi Leonard. I should have let it sit there.
You should have.
Well, not there.
Christine Lisi, you were saying.
And finally, Amazon's largest warehouse is the size of 17 American football fields. Speaking of taking up a lot of space, Dan, back to you.
Oh, wow. Didn't see that one coming.
That was cruel. A cruel cutting jibe from Christine Lisi. Thank you for being on with us, Christine. I want to get to some Aaron Rodgers sound here in a second. I also want to get to defensive Adam Gase. You are telling people now, because this is the rationalization of somebody who has been in an abusive relationship for a long time. Yeah. Stugatz comes in here and saying, no, I'm happy they traded Le'Veon Bell. And it's just the coping mechanism for his franchise is just a joke. Or they didn't actually trade him. They just simply cut him. So they absorb all of the monetary losses. They couldn't even trade him because nobody wanted to take on a guy who was the best running back in football 17 Jets games ago.
Yep.
They couldn't get anything for him because nobody wants to pay how prohibitive his salary would be off of waivers.
Yeah, this is a good day. This is the season I've been waiting for my entire life. Le'Veon Bell makes the Jets better. He actually gives the Jets a slim chance of winning a couple of football games this year. Without him, they have nothing. Without him, they are starting in 2020, Joe Flacco and Frank Gore. I mean, the Jets are finally going for it. They're going for 1-15. They're going for 0-16. And Dan, I'm good with it because the most valuable thing in that sport outside of Patrick Mahomes or another player, perhaps, is the rights to that number one pick. Because people are saying this is the best quarterback to come out of college since Andrew Luck. And whether you take Trevor Lawrence or not, because you have Sam Darnold, you could trade him for a couple more picks.
You did this with Darnold. Like, what are you doing?
What do you mean?
You just talk yourself into whatever you think is the good, hopeful thing. Your team is always going to screw it up.
Well, I don't know if they're going to screw it up.
Okay, how much more proof would you like?
Time out.
How much more proof would you like that the Jets are always going to screw it up? Do I need to go a fifth decade for you? Need to go a sixth? What do I need to do?
Occasionally, we stumble into back-to-back AFC championship games. All I'm saying is Joe Douglas, who's in his first...
You've done that twice in 50 years!
Listen, when you've only done it twice, you'll take it. The two times that it came, it was very exciting for me. Dan, the sequence is important because Mike Maccagnan hired Adam Gase, and then Adam Gase came in and stabbed him in the back and didn't want any of the players that he selected, which included Jamal Adams, Sam Darnold, Le'Veon Bell. He didn't want any of them. And so what he did when he got there is he got rid of the guy who hired him because he wanted Joe Douglas. And I believe this has been the plan all along. I really do. I believe that.
Oh, this is the Jets actually. Okay, so yeah. You are now.
I believe Adam Gase and Joe Douglas have a plan in place.
You are in such a hopeless place that you believe that this is orchestrated incompetence, not the general Jets, just we're a dumpster fire. You believe they're playing chess and Bill Belichick is playing checkers. That's what you're saying. They're going after Belichick with this is the plan. Trade all of our good players and just be a laughingstock joke across the decades and the eternities.
They don't have good players. That's the point. And I think Adam Gase and Joe Doug, they recognize that. Jamal Adams is not winning you a Super Bowl. Le'Veon Bell is not winning you a Super Bowl.
Okay, so I just want to get this clear.
So they got rid of him.
Okay, but John Gruden got rid of him, took the hit, and now he's still there to oversee. Hey, look, we got a bunch of fast players. You're starting Flacco and Gore this weekend.
I know, in an effort to get Trevor Lawrence. It's genius.
Chris, go ahead and correct me. I've been saying Flacco's name because it's skinny in Spanish for my entire adult life, and he's now a 400-year-old fossil. Go ahead and correct me because I'm never going to get this name right.
Joe Flacco, and you said it so quick that it sounded a little bit scary. Stugatz, are you considering that Lawrence, who I assume this is all about, you want them to get Lawrence. What if Lawrence decides to stay at Clemson because he doesn't want
any part of the Jets? For sure, if the Jets want him,
that
for
would be
sure.
problematic. Yeah.
For sure he goes right back to Clemson.
Well, then you trade the pick, and you know what? I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but the Jets are finally doing what I've asked them to do. This isn't 5-11. This isn't 6-10. They are going for 0-16, and I've never been prouder of them.
All right, and this is your coach right here. This is your defensive coach. This is all part of the incompetence plan. This is your defensive coach arguing with reporters because, again, Bill Belichick is way behind. The Jets have it figured out. The path to the future is the surfer dude who is Clemson's quarterback.
I'm sure he'll get an opportunity somewhere else, and you know, we'll see what happens.
Do you agree with the perception that you misused him?
It's irrelevant at this point.
I think the fans are interested in knowing why it didn't work out with a player of that stature.
Yeah, it didn't work out. We're going to focus on this game right now.
Are you worried about the message it sends to the rest of the locker room about the rest of the season?
I think our locker room's pretty good right now.
That's the plan. There you go, Stugatz.
Proud of him.
That represents hope for Stugatz. I just want you to absorb where Jets fans are.
Yeah.
Yes. No, this is where Jets fans are. Mike Ryan feels he's got a football team. They're 4-1. He feels like they're headed in the right direction.
I'm getting closer.
You are a rationalizing turd is what you are. You are Jets fans personified right there. Always figuring out the way to, again, get brutally cut by your team because the way they're doing it now when they get Darnold. I mean, honest to God, Stugatz, like you've been arguing so long on behalf of the hope of this team. You've argued on behalf of, you allowed Mark Sanchez to date your daughters.
That was, listen, back-to-back AFC championship games. Those were the glory years, Dan. I mean, and listen, I'm not convinced on Darnold, and I don't think Gase and Joe Douglas are either, okay?
You were convinced on Darnold.
I was. That was then. This is now. I mean,
you have to give Gase some credit, though, right? Because he's there. He's taking the tough questions when it's very easy, Dan, especially now over Zoom. If you don't like a question, you just kind of pretend to be frozen.
I feel like that Sanchez thing needs some context.
It really does. Yeah.
Would you mind providing it?
Stugatz allowed Mark Sanchez to date his daughters.
Let's go. My private jet isn't going to fuel itself.
It's on a different date.
A very long time ago, says Stugatz, to correct the math that the audience is doing. Wait a minute. Stugatz's daughters are 16. And now Stugatz is saying a very long time ago. The context that's required for that is he said when they grew up, he would allow Mark Sanchez to date his daughters simply because he was the handsome quarterback of the Jets. Okay, now most famously known, again, because it's the Jets franchise, for running into another dude's butt and fumbling.
But I appreciate you clearing that up.
He rationalized it by by saying they got the two straight AFC championship games. Like, that's the reason they're allowed.
I did.
Advance Auto Parts. I'm telling you, he's a beaten man. This is what four decades of Jets does to you. Like, Greenberg hides it better because he's got the polished veneer of a TV foof, so he can hide it better. But he's got the same sort of pain roiling within him about the Jets. Like, you will never hear Mike Greenberg angrier than talking about the New York Jets. It's actually jarring to see Mike Greenberg take off his television suit and show rage.
You'll never hear him more hopeful than he was the day they signed Le'Veon Bell. Mike, do you remember we had him on and he described the signing of Le'Veon Bell as if it was the greatest day of his life?
You guys, you'll never learn. You will never learn. You are, what is the modern equivalent of Charlie Brown and Lucy moving the football? Because you guys are always hopeful. Now you've talked yourself into our guy's a dope on purpose so we could get Trevor Lawrence. It's unbelievable. I feel for you. Like, you really need to quit.
It's about time.
You need to quit that addiction. It's very bad for you.
It drove me crazy, man.
Charlie Brown moving the football. What are you talking about?
Advanced Auto Parts people. I asked for the modern description. That is what I was asking for, the modern description of that.
So rather than help, Chris just made fun of you.
Yes, that's right. That's yeah.
It's the step in the modern family house that they never repair.
Thank you. That's a little better.
Don Lebatard.
I'm anti-forgiveness.
Stugatz.
Leave my brain alone.
This is the Don Lebatard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. If you missed any of the show, no problem. You can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Lebatard Show, plus our Miami-only hour and the Big Suey on Demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Lebatard and Friends podcast network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcast. Dan, it is time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Is it at all possible to do that read a little more conversational, where we're just sort of promoting the stuff we do, but it's not quite as much white noise as the reads can be around here, because radio reads aren't very creative? Because I'd like the audience to know there was a very cool thing done for the local hour today, because we're giving you a lot of content and it must be hard to keep up with it all. And actually, it better serves us to make ourselves less available to you, to make ourselves more exclusive, where you can only get us, in one place. And we're bombarding you right now with too much us, so that you have menu items. But the thing that I want you to know about the Lebatard and Friends podcast network is that we will have a lot of different things for you, and it's new stuff and it's creative playground stuff, and we're figuring it out as we go along, because this was all sprung on us. We did not expect to have to do this in real time while still doing a daily radio show. So one of the things we stumbled on today is Stugatz driving home with the shipping container is a segment that really worked, and it was good, and it was Stugatz at his maximum Stugatz fun. And you can get that as the Big Suey today. Maybe some other day it'll be a local hour, but today it's as the Big Suey.
Yeah, and keep in mind, there's the Dan Lebatard Show with Stugatz feed. That's where you get the daily radio show as you know it, including the local hour and that digital exclusive hour known as the Big Suey, in addition to the Lebatard and Friends network that has all our fun side projects, where you'll find Stupidity, South Beach Sessions, the Mina Kimes Show featuring
it's too much. Like, we know we're giving you too much, but it's so you choose what you like. We're giving you a newspaper. You take what you want, and we're telling you that we're going to surprise you in a variety of these different places with some of the stuff we're doing, because it's unpredictable on purpose, and we know we're giving you too much right now, but that's the idea of giving you too much. Getting back to what it is that we were talking about before.
Rick Renteria, finally.
I thought it was making that billboard more conversational.
Billy, how is the hunt for Rick Renteria going? We just began our pursuit of one of the nicest men in the world, and it's not his style to rip anybody. He's not going to come on here and rip the Chicago White Sox. Yeah, I know that's what we want as a media entity, but that's not what's going to happen. He's forever classy and kind. But I would guess that this is a bit of a death knell, right, on a managerial career, even as much as they recycle them, when the White Sox have success with you and then turn around and say, well, you're not really an analytics guy, though. You're not the guy to lead us into the future on this stuff.
I don't know. I mean, they're interviewing Tony La Russa, so I don't know if it's exactly over for Renteria.
Exactly. Yeah. And in terms of Renteria, Dan, right now he's the white whale, but Captain Ahab hasn't given up. We're looking.
Okay, thank you, Ahab. I appreciate all of your good work.
Quite the visual.
Captain Ahab.
We are really playing with theater of the mind there, Billy. I appreciate it.
Can you guys help me with something, though? Because I want to know what's true here. Is it true that Mike McCarthy lied about spending his offseason immersing himself in the analytics because it just job interviewed well? Because I believe it's something that's been reported as so, that all of that was just a job interview concoction. And
because he invited cameras into his life, and it looked like he had two. Wait, he had two desktops set up on his desk. Dan
really sold
one
it.
Was just for surfing the web. The other was for analytics. I was led to believe because anybody with two desktops on their desk must be an analytics.
Okay, so before we get to Dominique Foxworth, what I am asking you guys is before the end of this segment to find for me whether Mike McCarthy just did the job interview thing of telling the guy, Jerry Jones, that he was interviewing with the thing that he might have wanted to hear, which was just an outright lie. Because Mike McCarthy, man, we've talked to him. This is a guy who's on his tractor in Green Bay when he's trick-or-treating. This is not an analytics guy. He's just not.
He has made certain analytics moves that have blown up in his face, and everyone sort of wishing, Jason Garrett would have never done that.
That's what would happen to you if you were an analytics guy who didn't know analytics, who was just lying during your job interview.
I am desperately trying to find this story.
You guys
got to
find this for me.
There was a camera crew that went into his home.
What I am doing right now is irresponsible. I do not have my facts on this. I am being reckless because if indeed he studied analytics, I look like a real fool. But again, Mike McCarthy looks like an out-of-work Elvis impersonator who's not in the costume. That is not an analytics person. That's a person at your local diner who's ordering a lot of pancakes. That is not an analytics person.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Is there anything wrong with that? What are you kidding me? It's my dream scenario. Sitting in a diner filled in front of a stack of pancakes.
Dan, it's like the interview process where you tell the person on your resume, hey, I'm proficient in Excel, and then they want you to do a job worth Excel, and you're like, I wasn't that proficient to begin with.
Now, he is on record, according to the New York Post, as saying that he told Jerry Jones, now, this is not the lie you're looking for, so perhaps there were several lies during this interview. He confessed and told Jerry Jones that he watched every play of the 2019 season, but I wanted the job. I haven't watched every play of that season. You do what you got to do, right?
Okay, we got to get to the bottom of this. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Is proficient in Excel on everyone's resume? And then the next question, is anyone proficient at Excel?
Dan Lebatard.
Why is the Fox robot always running at me?
Stugatz.
I don't have answers, but I'll check it out. I'll look into it.
No, there's really no answer.
No, there might be. You never know, Dan.
There's not an answer to that. I'm just curious.
No, I'm going to type in, why is the Fox robot always running at me, and see what comes back.
This is the Dan Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
I love that Dominique Foxworth, if you don't know who this dude is, the reason he's an up-and-comer here in this business in a way that's coming for everybody's jobs is because, and he just re-upped at ESPN, and he's star of Get Up, making everyone uncomfortable. It's because the guy not only goes, you know, and gets to the pros as a cornerback, and I'd make the argument right now, Stugatz, I'm not even joking about this. They always say that the hardest thing to do in sports is hitting a baseball. I believe with the way the rules are right now, where you can't even touch anybody, that being a cornerback is that when the quarterback is so precise and he and the receiver know where the ball is going and the cornerback just has to be athletic enough to compensate for not knowing,
right.
He goes and makes it in that sport, doing that position. Then he goes to Harvard Business School, and now he decides, you know what I want to do? I want to write. I want to be a writer of you know, human profiles. Like, I want to challenge myself by writing, which is harder than a lot of people know.
Dominique is one of those guys that can do whatever he sets his mind to. He just
okay,
does.
So I want to talk to him about what he's written, but before we do that, we have to come in with our high-end kazoo music.
And finally, after Ted Nugent recently called Tommy Lee a convicted felon domestic violence heroin addict, Tommy Lee fired back at Nugent saying, "Is that guy even still alive? I thought he shot himself like 20 years ago."
Okay, that's
if that's not
good.
America in 2020,
that's pretty
I'm
good.
Not sure what
that's
is.
That's pretty good. Can we get both those guys on? Like, that is...
I'll pass on Ted Nugent. It'd be a hard pass for me.
He's out there on the fringes, on the extremes. I, too, most of us thought, put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Did you not think that Ted Nugent had shot himself 20 times in the last 20 years? Thank you, Christine. Appreciate it. I don't know what you know. Would the shipping container even know anything about Ted Nugent?
No.
Roy's always there. Roy's the first draft pick on trivia night.
Well, but what would you? How would you explain to people who Ted Nugent was and who he is now? Because he basically got a voice for being a bit of a rock star, edgier than most during a time when America was pretty repressed. How long ago was this? 70s, 80s we're talking about?
When is Ted Nugent? Was the 70s, right?
70s.
Yeah.
And so now, Mike, you're far away from the microphone because you don't want to go near any of Ted Nugent's politics?
I don't want to talk about Ted Nugent, and this is a very weird intro into Dominique Foxworth.
Okay. Dominique, thank you for being on with us. You can read what he's written at The Undefeated.
I mean, no one's ever had this many questions about Ted Nugent. Well, you're very curious. What,
Dominique, do you know anything about Ted Nugent?
I know enough to know that we don't need to talk about
them. Okay.
That's a weird intro. I was sitting here thinking, did they lose Dominique? Did Dominique's line drop or something? Then I was like, no, I'm Dominique. I'm here waiting for them to say my name. Instead, they keep saying Ted Nugent.
Didn't you hear all the compliments I had on the front end about your new contract with ESPN and now how you tackle the challenges of writing just because, you know, you like that? You write. Where does writing rank in terms of the hardest things you've done as a guy who went to Harvard Business School and became a cornerback in the NFL?
Writing is a strong number two. It's the second hardest thing I've ever done after football, writing.
Wow.
So why did you decide?
That's why I never tried it.
Why did you decide? You did that one time with a Father's Day piece that moved all of us trying to get on around.
Harder
the horn.
Than debating Stephen A.
Yeah, Stephen A. is number one. But I mean, I don't know. I had writer on as my title since I've been at this company for about 5 years, and this is the first piece that I've actually felt like a real journalist. You know, like all the other stuff that I've written hasn't felt as complete as this. So I'm happy with the way it came out, and writing is hard. There's several times in the process where I wanted to throw my computer because it doesn't come naturally to me. But now that I've done it, never doing it again. I have mastered writing, and I retire.
What is the story about? And it is, man, Dominique, like you just spoke to me in terms, writing's the most fulfilling thing I do professionally, but because of how hard it is, I don't exactly want to keep doing it again and again, even though it's fulfilling. So why did you decide to do this for The Undefeated? What about it is special, and what is the story about?
Okay, so it's Tyron Matthews, and I was just writing about the things that I can speak specifically. So the way that he's changed the game is versatility and trying to combine that kind of hardcore X and O analysis with just a traditional kind of soft profile piece and talking about how he's matured and what he's turned into in his community and in his team. And he talked a lot about how important it is for him to be sensitive. And that's, I asked him how he wanted people to, what's the first word that he would expect players to say or teammates to say when I asked him about him. And he said sensitive. Obviously that wasn't the first word that came out of their mouth, but that's important to him. And it's just, it was kind of refreshing to have somebody be that honest and to be that different in a moment where it feels like all our athletes want to be Jordan or want to be Mamba mentality. He finds a way to lead in a way that is softer. And it's funny, too, because A.J. Brown last year said that Tyron Matthews said he would kill him on the field. So those juxtapositions are hard to kind of circle those squares, but he's a complicated person. And talking about how he came into the league in a situation where he was third-round draft pick, in large part because people didn't know what position he was going to play. And they couldn't place him. And now we're at a point where he kind of revolutionized the way that we think about it. And now we look for guys who are like Tyron Matthew. And coming into the combine last year, his name was the one cited most by draft prospects. And when people ask, who do you model your game after? Everyone's like Tyron Matthew. And you see all the other safeties who are kind of multifaceted, versatile safeties. So it's just an interesting story coming from where he was when he was the absolute wrong type of player to now he's the perfect type of defender that unlocks defenses around the league in a time when offense or defense is or the league is more hostile to good defense than it ever has been before.
So you're proud of the piece because it combines, here's a revolutionary in our violent sport who's doing it a little bit differently with the guy who will be different enough to answer a question. The word sensitive, I don't think a lot of football players are ending up there as an answer. They may be that, but I would think they would cover it in bravado.
Yeah, when I first started working on this piece, I wasn't sure the angle necessarily. So I'm doing interviews and I'm thinking of things. And honestly, and talking to Mina helped me a lot, where I really wanted to take it in a football direction. And then I realized, like, I can try to combine the two. And it's something that very few other people could do. So I'm happy if you are, like, someone who loves hardcore football analysis, you'll read this piece and walk away having learned something and feel fulfilled. If you're someone who likes to learn more about the personal stuff, the softer stuff about people, I think you'll read this and feel fulfilled. And I'm proud of it. And I told you, like I said before, I retire.
Speaking of your retirement, back in 2012, your NFL retirement, if I told you that 8 years later, because you played with Joe Flacco, if I told you 8 years later he'd be the starter in 2020, seeing where the NFL was headed with the quarterback position, that he'd be starting for the Jets, you would have told me what?
Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP Joe Flacco. Yeah, I mean, I would have said absolutely. Like, why would I have any reason to deny that? Isn't that something that we've seen take place throughout the history of this sport? Like, you reach the highest heights, every team who needs a quarterback is going to convince themselves that maybe you can touch it one more time. So I'm not surprised by that. If you would have said Joe Flacco was black, we have a different story. We have a whole different conversation.
Well, wait. I want to have this conversation with you, though.
Not as at all surprised.
Of course you do, Dan.
It relates to the evolution of the quarterback position. Dominique Foxworth makes what? Go ahead, Stugatz. Make the joke. You distract me four times. Go, make the joke now.
Joe Flacco.
So tell me, Dominique Foxworth, can you explain?
That was worth it, man.
It was worth it. It is, but he's so distracting because he doesn't do subtlety, because he's always waiting. Where do I land my joke? Where do I land my joke? And he's distracting me.
You're just talking yourself into a deeper L.
I'm the jerk for the race guy.
Leave it alone.
You're hilarious, Stu, guys.
Thank you.
Dan, you stepped on it. You got to let that thing breathe. That was a phenomenal joke. I'm blaming you, Dan.
You know what? You know what? This is how done I am with everyone ganging up on me here. I don't even want to talk about race at quarterback. You get out of here, Dominique Foxworth. We'll talk to you later. Check out his story at The Undefeated. Never mind. We are not going to talk about the evolution of the quarterback position. Dominique, thank you. Check out his story at The Undefeated. I really do admire him for a lot of different reasons, not the least of which is he's just decided, I'm going to write about people, and I'm going to write deeply about people. And it's going to be because he's struggled. Dominique, you've struggled being on with us. We've told you how fascinating you are when you talk the X's and O's of football. But when you come around here, you feel the need to not do that because you want to get in on the jokes and the hijinks.
Dang. Joe Black
hole. Paid that man his money.
Don Levitard.
So I keep reading about whales and dolphins and blah, blah, blah. Then I stumble upon this great animal called the narwhal, which is essentially a unicorn whale. A unicorn whale.
What?
Google it.
Stugatz.
Oh, my God.
N-A-R-W-H-A-L.
Thank you.
Look at it. Life changer. Narwhal.
This is the Dan Levitard Show with Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Casper, the sleep company with outrageously comfortable products at not-so-outrageous prices. Today on ESPN Daily, Chief Safety, Tyrann Mathieu. Is that how you say it? The honey badger.
I've always described him as like Walter Matthau. I always get that one wrong.
It's not Matthau. It's Mathieu.
We couldn't tell from Dominique's phone line who he was talking about.
Well, he's become the model defender in today's NFL, and he's faced his doubters on the path from LSU to Super Bowl champion. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
So we've got some polls to update here. Billy, you will be happy to know that I have received a missed call from Rick Renteria. So we are very close to landing our white whale. I don't know whether we don't have time for it today we wouldn't just want to put it in the postgame show. We'd want to build a show around it tomorrow, wouldn't
we? Of course,
yes. This is a national story.
It is a national story, right, Billy? So we could tell. Weren't you guys telling me you wanted to know what that dinner was like where we adopted Rick Renteria into our family, a young roly-poly man who, again, check it out on Google. He's the same age as Tom Cruise. Yes, Billy.
We have a really big show tomorrow, though, so I don't know where we're going to put Rick. We have Jericho coming back. We have Kurt Shin. Teddy Atlas wants to join via camera for some reason, so it's a big show already tomorrow.
Wow, and we got to break down Arch Manning's game tonight, ESPN2, 9:30.
And Alfonso might call in, too.
Yeah, don't forget about Alfonso.
Right, that's right.
I forgot about that Lomachenko fight.
Do you guys think that he's not going to call back tomorrow? Like, what's the
Alfonso
betting?
Romero? Yeah, we've got-
No,
he's not calling back.
No, never. Never again. No, no. Forget about tomorrow.
I don't think he listens.
Yeah. Definitely doesn't listen. I was going to say, I have bad news for you. He also does not listen every morning.
So you thought that was fake Hollywood stuff?
Yeah.
He knows how to play the game.
Yeah, he's good at it.
Yeah. I mean, so many guests have told us that over the years. They don't listen.
So nobody listens?
You think Alice Cooper's listening to our show every morning?
They've all been lying to me? Like, it's all a move that they... So Trump doesn't listen to the show? He came on and said we were his good friends.
Everybody except him when he called us the best sports radio show in America.
That wasn't sincere?
That was sincere. That was. That was 100% truth.
Are you calling the president a liar?
No, I'm doing the opposite, Dan.
He said that we were the best radio show, but now Clay Travis is the best radio show, according to the president who's desperate, who keeps calling Clay Travis. Breitbart Sports.
I believe it's Outkick, but I know what you're doing there. Let me see if I can find this clip.
Mm-hmm. You're going to get the clip of Donald Trump of the totally not sincere. You're going to wade into these waters, Mike. No politics with your sports. We're not doing that anymore. We're distracted by sports now. We have playoff games. We've got Braves and Dodgers. We never mind the rioting in the streets. We can now talk politics for those 4 minutes. But ESPN is trying to grind its way back to where the money is. Where baseball and football and basketball go on at the same time. And we can now talk politics if we wrap it up in the sports playpen as the president of our country wanders God's green earth telling people he saved college football using a almost literal political football to try to get reelected in his desperation.
Please tell me you found the sign.
The Trump folder is... large. Here's Tom Brady endorsing Donald Trump. Give me a second.
Okay, well, we've got a minute and 30 seconds left. Do you want to update some polls while we filibuster for Mike?
I can update the polls, but I'm not certain Mike can hit the poll sponsor while he's looking for sound, or perhaps
we've got too many sponsors in the way of everything.
The show is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning
more
team
sponsors,
today. Go to
LinkedIn.com/sports. More sponsors.
Don't speak over it. I got to hit it again now.
The Twitter poll at Lebatard Show is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
At Lebatard Show on Twitter, does Alfonso have a portrait of Alfonso in his house?
Mike, just save it for the post-game show. We will find it eventually as you go through the Trumpster.
I think you have a great show. I watch it a lot.
I guess we don't have to do it in the postgame show.
So wait a minute. That's not true. You're alleging that the president has spoken something that's untrue, Mike? You're doing that on Disney Airwaves?
No,
How dare you?
I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying he meant this sincerely.
I think you have a great show. I watch it a lot.
I really believe them.
I don't believe that the president would lie about that or anything. Not this president.
This wasn't even candidate Trump. Dan, this is well before that.
I think you have a great show. I watch it a lot.
Wasn't Pablo Torre dressed as an orca whale during that interview?
No, that was Jesse Ventura.
95% of the audience said yes.
Ted Nugent!
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.